Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We are about to plunge in to the end time, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, part of Paul's letter here. So let's get started. Verse 13 says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant." Now, this section is about the return of the Lord Jesus. And Paul tells these people, "I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be misinformed. I want you to understand what the end times is all about." Biblical prophecy is important. Those who neglect it at their peril. Paul says, don't be ignorant. So he says, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now, the word fall asleep here is actually from a Greek word that we get our English word cemetery. Paul is not talking about sleeping in the evening. He's talking about dying. That being said, because of the word fall asleep, there is a doctrine, which I don't believe, called soul sleep. It basically says when you die, your soul will sleep until the day comes when your soul will be resurrected with your body. Now, there is something else to think about here. Paul says when you die, you will be with the Lord. I believe that's in Philippians. If you realize that the spiritual world is beyond our time domain, it's outside of our time and space paradigm, it may be possible, and this is speculation and just an idea I have, although I have now heard other people put forth this idea, when we die as believers, or really when anybody dies, we are immediately into eternity future, because eternity, the spiritual realm, has no such thing as time. Whatever the case, immediately upon death, we are with the Lord. So Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant that those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." Grieving, the pagans in Paul's day in the Roman Empire, the Greeks, the Romans, many of them at this stage in the game when Paul wrote this letter were getting a bit, well, how would you say it? They were beginning to question their paganism. They were beginning to feel they had no hope. And Paul says, we don't want to be like those people. He goes on to say in verse 14, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Okay. Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead. He is the first one who has risen from the dead into his resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us all about that. Paul says, because of the resurrection, Jesus will return, and those who have died in the Lord will return with him. Now, we got to think this through a bit because the next few verses are a bit confusing. Let's think about what we've learned so far. Those who are saved, Christians, die. They immediately go to heaven. That is their spirit soul. They do not have a resurrected body as yet. They are in some kind of spirit form with the Lord in heaven. When Jesus returns, they will return with Jesus in this spirit form. Verse 15 says, According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. Okay, Paul says a few things here. He seems to allude to the fact that he himself might be alive when Jesus returns. Most people believe that Paul felt that he would be alive when the Lord returns. Now, it's quite possible that when Paul says the word we who are alive, that might be a generic we, meaning the we of any generation, the we of the generation that Jesus returns in. Anyway, we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, we certainly will not precede those who have died, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. There's something we need to know here. Paul says back here in verse 13, according to the Lord's own words, there is no written recollection in the Bible that the Lord himself said these things. We have two possibilities. Either Jesus said this and it's not recorded, or else Jesus told Paul this in one of his many visions. But again, in verse 16, the Lord himself will come with the shout of the archangel. So now we have the Lord returning to earth. The spirits of the dead will return with him. And then it says in verse 16, the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. This is where the confusion comes in. See, we have Jesus coming with the saints, because he's already said that a couple verses back. And now he says the dead in Christ will rise. So what does that mean? I thought the dead were already risen and coming back. Well, what he means is the bodies of the dead will rise into a new resurrected body and be joined with that spirit soul. So if you are a saint that's already died, you're in heaven in some kind of spiritual form, when Jesus returns, you will then receive your resurrected body first before those who are alive will receive theirs. Verse 17 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. So again, the picture is Jesus comes back with his saints who are in spirit form, and probably with some angels. The spirit saints will be united with their resurrected body, and then those who are alive at the return of Christ will suddenly rise up from the earth and be transformed into their glorified body. The word caught up, as most people know, is where we get the term rapture, although it's not rapture in Greek. The word rapture comes from a Latin word. Paul goes on to say, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Once we get our glorified body, we will be with Jesus forever. Forever begins at the 1,000-year rule of Christ. Forever continues here on the new earth, as seen in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. Verse 18 says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. These Thessalonican Christians were experiencing major persecution, and Paul says, guys, encourage yourselves with the words, with the teaching, that Jesus will someday come and get you guys out of this mess. People who don't really get into prophecy, who say it's a waste of time, miss what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, speaking of the return of the Lord should be an encouraging thing. If it's an encouraging thing, then we should understand it, not be ignorant of it, and speak to one another about it. One last point to this section. This is speaking of what people call the rapture. When Jesus returns with his saints, the dead saints get their glorified, resurrected body. The living saints rise up to meet them, Jesus and the dead saints, and they get their resurrected body. What Paul does not say is when this will happen. And that's where the controversy lies. If you are a prophetic futurist, you will believe that this rapture takes place prior to the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation. At the moment, I believe, and it's taken me years, if not decades, to get to this point, that it takes place at least at the middle of the tribulation, and I lean towards before the last 7 years of this age. As a dispensationalist, I really do believe the seven-year tribulation period and the last 3.5, meaning the Great Tribulation, is really a dispensation unto itself. It is separate and distinct from the age of grace that we now live in. We'll continue in to chapter 5 that continues this prophetic theme in the next section.